Have you ever lost a child? I did, actually twice, but I'll just tell you one of them. It was a Saturday morning. We had two children, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and my wife wanted a break. So I decided to take the kids for a walk. Julie was four. I held her hand, and Joya was in the stroller, and I'm pushing her along. And we walked around the corner to another street called Wheat Sheaf, and on it was a row of kind of old-fashioned shops. And at the end was a very busy road called, Anyway, as we're walking along, one of the shopkeepers came out, a guy I knew, and he was very excited because he had some American money. And, you know, he's going like, is a 10-cent piece smaller than the 5-cent piece? And, you know, yes. And this is a silver dollar. They're pretty rare to have a silver dollar. And some had good dates on them. And so he's talking to me. Julie got bored of holding my hand. I said, okay, you can just stay right around here. And we're talking and talking and talking. And pretty soon I looked down and Julie wasn't there. And then I looked up the whole Wheat Sheaf Street along the shops and she wasn't there either. Sheer panic. A, imagine going home, honey, I lost our daughter. But sheer panic, because up at the end of the street is the busy road. And also, before you get to the end of the street, there's a little laneway that walks across the train tracks. So I ran up the street, sticking my head in each shop, asking if my daughter was in that shop. And as I got up towards the top of the street, a little old lady walked out of the laneway holding Julie's hands and said, oh, she was over across the railroad tracks. A person could be angry, like I told you to stay here. I was not angry. I was rapt. I was so happy to see Julie. Jesus tells this story about the lost sheep so we can understand how God feels about you. Because the story is about you and me, not really about sheep. And he has the same joy over Ruby and Michelle as they're baptized and adopted and become Jesus' brothers and sisters. So, that's that same feeling. So that's how God feels about anyone who is drawn back into a relationship with their Creator. Remember, He created us, we belong to Him. But we have this habit of running away. I had a dog that used to run away often. But dogs come back. Sheep don't. Sheep nibble their way out of the paddock and they can't find their way back. Cats and dogs, come tea time, they're back. So Jesus explains how God the Father feels through the parable. Parable just means the Jesus story. The lost sheep. It's pure gospel. It's about being saved by grace, like as a gift. The tax collectors and the sinners were coming to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes, the goody-goodies, were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and even eats with them. To them, a sinner would be classed as someone who was a tax collector. That's because they were collecting tax for the enemy, for Rome, rather than for Israel. So they were traitors and also cheats. And it would include people like prostitutes, lepers, murderers, thieves, not good people who the Pharisees considered themselves good people. Didn't Jesus' mother tell him, you can tell who a person is by the company he keeps? Didn't he know he wasn't supposed to hang around with supposedly bad people? Who are the sinners today? Well, we might think of terrorists or Putin, or drug dealers, and then sometimes ourselves in certain ways. Jesus welcomes sinners. He treats them like brothers and sisters, and the good folk grumble. So to help them understand the situation, he tells them this one of his most famous stories, the story of the last lost sheep. So he talks about how someone had 100 sheep, and towards evening when he counted them, one was missing. And he says, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it, and then throw a giant party? There are three issues with this story that he says. One is leaving the sheep. There are no fences. Like, people didn't have property. The sheep just wander through the wilderness. So this is wilderness. Two, it's a risk to the shepherd. Like there are lions and bears still in Israel when Jesus is talking, and sheep rustlers and bandits. To leave the sheep alone, is this good farming practice? Was that what Roseworthy College would teach people to do? Leave the sheep out with lions, bears, and sheep rustlers? So when he says, which one of you wouldn't leave the 99 alone in the wilderness? The answer is nobody. Nobody in their right mind would do this. Jesus is not talking about agriculture. He's talking about God's kingdom and the way God does things and the way God feels. To leave, for him to go away as it's getting dusk with lions, bears, and bandits, Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's willing to die for, in this case he means us. No farmer would want that. No farmer would want his son to give his life to save one pathetic sheep. They're only worth $250. Imagine workplace health and safety, what that would have to say about that. So he says, which one of you isn't willing to die for the sheep? No one's willing to die for the sheep. No father wants his son to give his life for sheep. This is not agriculture. This is God's kingdom. And then he says, and then they would throw a big party. Then you would call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, I'm so happy I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate. It would cost more than the sheep is worth to have the party for all his friends and neighbors. Which one of you doesn't spend more on the party? No one does. This is not agriculture. This is God's kingdom. No one except Jesus. So he risks his life for us, and heaven celebrates as we come back to our Creator. No one would leave the sheep except Jesus in order to give his own life. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, so it's shortly before he dies on the cross, and he is called the Good Shepherd. He is going to lay down his life for you and me and for everyone else who stuffs up in various ways. Maybe we don't like to think of ourselves as a sinner, but we all know we stuff up in various ways. Sometimes it's the things we say. Sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's by mistake that we stuff up. And that gives us that, separates us from other people, separates us from our Creator, and makes us feel bad about ourselves. And Jesus wants to fix that promise. So he says, because he has died in order to bring us back, he says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 respectable people who did not need to repent. So who doesn't need to repent? It's only people who don't know that they stuff up, who try and twist their minds, who pretend that they're always right. You've met people like this. They're very annoying. The people who are always right and you're always wrong, even if they are wrong. The Pharisees themselves are claiming to be so good, and yet they are plotting to murder Jesus, and they lie at his trial. But it's for a good cause, you know? So they're feeling quite righteous. They don't think they need to repent. How many sinless people have you actually met? I have no one in my family who's sinless. I have no one among my friends who's sinless. We all stuff up. We all stuff up. Recently, in our old house, we had more towel racks, and I had two towels. Being a hairy guy, you know, need two towels when I get out of the shower. And a few weeks ago, I thought, well, I can't hang two towels in this bathroom. So I thought, well, I'll just use my wife's. She's already had her shower, it won't matter. Well, of course, my wife caught me at it. And you know, you go like, that's a really dumb thing to do. Like, and you know, you're going in this, you have justifications, right? Like at my old house, I had two towels, I don't have it here. She's not using it now, she's already done with it. You know, all these excuses. And you go, yeah, but you didn't tell her you were doing it. You knew it was wrong all along. If you really thought it was right, you would have talked about it. And we didn't actually talk about it much right then, but by tea time we had it solved, and I put a towel on the little hook on the back of the door, and I have now two towels. But, you know, you sort of go like, it's you're going along and, you know, you're convincing yourself that it's right, and suddenly it just all falls apart in front of you. That's that stuffing up, isn't it? We all end up stuffing up various ways. The bad ones I won't tell you about, just that one's safe to share. But Jesus says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who have no need to repent. And so, because this is our life and our friends and our family and our loved ones' life, all of us stuff up various times. Jesus tells us in the Lord's Prayer to say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And again, we're offered the Lord's Supper, which is for the forgiveness of sins, and he also offers us the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith. When did Jesus tell this parable? On the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, on his way to save all those who have a sense of sin. I would like to think that I would risk my life for my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, gladly. Your Creator feels the same way about you. You are precious to him. What is God's masterpiece? Is it the Flinders Ranges, Uluru, Kakadu, the Great Barrier Reef? Paul says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ. This word masterpiece is when shopkeepers used to put their best thing in the shop window. It would be their best carving, their best knitted garment, their best sewn thing goes in the window. And Paul says, you are God's masterpiece. He is your creator. That's why you're so precious to him. And again, at the creation of the world, God said, let us make human beings in our image. You are the crown of God's creation. Every sheep, every person is a treasure to Jesus. You are a treasure to Jesus, priceless, just like the lost sheep in the story he told. And yet we all stuff up. Why is Jesus going to Jerusalem? To give his life for you, to give you forgiveness, a promise of life forever, a new, a strong, a healthy body. The parable of the lost sheep is pure gospel. Being saved by grace, being saved when we don't deserve it, when we haven't earned it. And Jesus is the friend of sinners. That same joy that I found, that I experienced when the woman walked out of that laneway near the railroad tracks to give me my daughter, that's the joy that God the Father feels with Michelle and Ruby and each of us who come back to our Creator who made us and who says, you are his masterpiece. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.